Well, sir, it's about the middle of the morning, 10:30 o'clock or so, as we enter the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here in the living room, we find Mrs. Victor Cook and her son, Mr. Rush Cook. The latter is newly arrived home from a session of intensive baseball over at Tatman's vacant lot, and he's in a state of extreme soiree and dishevelment. He's saying to his mother,
"When I received your message, Mom, I was in a most unusual situation. I was between third base and home plate, flat on my face, with my nose buried in the ground and my arms and legs flailing frantically."
You look like that's the way you'd been spending the morning.
I'd made an unsuccessful slide, see?
Don't you want to know why I sent little Charlie Husher clear over to Tatman's vacant lot after you?
I made one of the most unsuccessful slides in the history of modern baseball. Why, I made myself ridiculous.
Don't you want to know why I sent for you?
Yes.
About a half an hour ago, the telephone rang and
it was... You'd probably have been frightened, Mom. If you could have seen me there between third base and home plate with my face flat on the ground and my nose buried in the dirt. Little Charlie Husher was frightened. He knelt down beside me and whispered in my ear, "Your mother wants you, Rush," he hissed. And as I turned my pale, dust-streaked cheek toward him, with perhaps a telltale tear or two smearing the coarse flesh, where the roughness and brutality of organized baseball had left their marks and bruises and stains.
Oh, stop it, Rush. You talk like a cucumber.
Your mother's heart is not touched or agitated at the description of how my head and chin got bruised?
There's apple on your chin.
Well, I'm aware of that. It's my intention to reach out my tongue within the next hour or so and snake it in my mouth. In fact, I've made a mental note to reach out my tongue and snag that morsel of apple.
Listen, we're going to have company. A young couple just married. I don't know who they are or how long they'll stay, but they will stay for dinner this noon. I sent little Charlie over to Tatman's vacant lot after you, and I sent Bluetooth Johnson down to the office after Gov. He should be here any minute.
Uh-huh.
See, the telephone rang, and it was this gentleman with a very pleasant voice. He said his name was Gimmer or Gilmore or Giltman or something.
Right, you kiddo.
Here's Gov.
Living room, Vic.
Okay.
Go ahead with your story, Mom.
I'll wait for your father.
No, go ahead. I find it interesting.
Well, why should I chew my cabbage twice? Why should I reel the whole business off to you and then just have to repeat it for your father?
I see the sound common sense in your decision.
Oh, quit talking like a sausage.
Sausage?
All them big words and trash. You're only 14 years old.
You're pretty sharp and frosty this morning, Mom.
Oh, I don't mean to be, Willie, but when a person's got something on their mind and kids get underfoot with talky-talk and garbage, you can't help it.
Hey, hey. Here are all my loved ones ganged up in the living room like sardines in a can. Hello, loved one.
Hi, Gov.
I don't believe I caught your name.
My name is Gertrude.
Oh, never mind. Never mind. I know too many people already. I just as soon not be bothered with any new acquaintances.
Okay.
I never dragged you away from anything important.
Well, no. I was closeted with the boss discussing mighty matters, and he was putting me privy to the fact that I was fired and my salary would be discontinued as of the 1st of September. Then we got to playing gravy tag, and after a bit, a bunch of pretty
You're
girls...
You're full of talky-talk and garbage, too, hmm? Haven't you got the slightest bit of curiosity about why I sent to the office for you in the middle of the morning?
Why did you send to the office for me in the middle of the morning?
We're going to have company.
Oh?
They're a young couple just married. Only been married 3 days. I don't know who they are or how long they're going to stay, but their mother used to be friends with my mother, and they're in town, temporarily stranded. And they called up, and I didn't see what else I could do but invite them out.
Well...
Name of Giltman or Gilmore or Gibbons or something.
You've never met them?
Never even heard of them.
Did they ask for money?
Of course not.
Why do you say of course not? If they're total strangers and you've never set eyes on them...
They're old friends of my mother.
Did you say they were young?
They only been married 3 days.
Well, that wouldn't mean that they had to be young.
That wouldn't mean that they had to be young.
One at a time. Rush, go away.
Go away? That's peculiar. You sent little Charlie Husher clear over to Tavis
Vacant. Please be quiet, son. Please. Vic, what were you trying to say?
Well, the fact that these people have only been married
three... Hey, where are you going?
Outdoors.
You stay right where you are.
But you told me to beat it.
Don't you dare move one step out of this house. Now, Vic.
You said these people were young. It doesn't necessarily follow that people are young just because
they happen to... They've only been married three days.
Well, so what? They could have been married 10 minutes and be 87 years old.
I talked to the man on the phone. He's got the pleasantest voice I ever heard in my life.
Well, does that prove he's young? Professor Cizizio de la Buplish, the famous baritone, has got the pleasantest voice.
Why are we talking about this anyway?
You said these people were young, and also you said they were friends of your mother. I was just
wondering. I said their mother was friend of my mother.
Their mother?
Yes.
Do they both have the same mother?
Her mother was friends of my mother.
Well, fine, but I don't...
He sounded like a lovely, nice fellow over the phone, and they're in the city on their honeymoon, temporarily stranded and out of money, and while they're waiting for a telegram from relatives in Sweet Esther, Wisconsin, I invited them to come here. Isn't that all right?
Well, sure it is, only I...
Wouldn't you have done it?
Well, I suppose...
My mother isn't with us anymore, Vic. Hasn't been with us for 15 years now. She was taken in 1931.
Well, hey, kiddo, no...
My mother was taken in 1931, 15 long years ago. Any of her friends, or children of her friends, call me up on the telephone.
Oh, Mom,
but
I don't care.
Good morning, Sadie.
Are they in the living room? Are they?
Uncle Fletcher.
Uncle Fletcher.
What?
Uncle Fletcher's here.
Come on in, Uncle Fletcher.
I've got something in my tooth.
He's got something in his tooth.
Oh.
Well, when do these people arrive?
Oh, well, should walk in any second.
They telephoned the Chicago Norton Depot, huh?
Yeah.
And what's their name, did you say?
Giltman or Gilmore or Gillings or something. I don't know. They may receive their telegram with the money in it and leave right this afternoon, but they will stay for dinner.
Good
and...
morning, people. Sadie, honey, you're looking fine. Vic, old boy, I never thought you'd be on deck this time of the day. Rush, you got something on your chin.
Junk apple. Later on in the day, I plan to loll out my tongue and scrape her in.
That's the way to talk.
You act like you're excited about something, Uncle Fetcher.
Not at all. I'll tell you people this, though.
What?
I'm excited about something.
Oh.
There was a robbery in Towanda this morning. I mean, there was numerous robberies in Towanda this morning. The glove compartments of 26 parked automobiles was rifled, raided, burglarized, and quintuplicated. My friend Felder Unbleed was in Towanda, and he told me all about it. The loot amounted to around $180, and they're pretty sure they know the thieves.
Who? Oh?
Wicked Willis Walters, the wretched Wolverine from Westcott, Wyoming.
Hey, hey.
And his gun mule.
Gun mule?
The blonde woman that travels with him and helps him perpetrate his crimes.
She's called a gun mule?
All them crooks and desperados has their gun mules.
Is that a fact?
Gun mule.
Oh, I know. Mao.
What?
He means Mao. Gun Mao.
Oh, sure.
Gun Mao.
That's right, Raishani. You got it. Gun mule.
Mao.
Mule.
Uncle Fletcher, we're having company for dinner this noon.
Yes, I do.
A young couple on their honeymoon.
Well, enjoy that. No, Pelter Henry told me the whole story. He was up there in Towanda, and by George,
Uncle says... Fletcher, pay attention a minute. I say we're having company for dinner this noon.
Yes, I know.
No, you don't know. We're having company for dinner this noon, and I'm mentioning it because I want you to understand why I won't be able to invite you.
I've eaten my dinner at home.
Well, lots of times when you drop in this close to noon, you can be persuaded to stay.
Oh.
And I'm just saying that where ordinarily I'd be happy to ask you to stay and eat with us, this particular noon, I'm afraid.
I've eaten mine at my dinner at home. It's probably already cooking on the numbskull lamb brain stove.
Well, all right.
I thank you very much for the polite ecstasy of the invitation, but I must regretfully refuse as I'm eating my dinner at home.
Good.
Now I hope that dialogue is over with.
Yes, I do myself. Now, listen, everybody. When these young people arrive, I want lots of lovely politeness.
Doorbell ringing, doorbell ringing.
Tintinabulations, tintinabulations. They soothe the stormy ear.
Well, here's our company. Vic, had you better go?
No.
Rush, you go.
Okay.
Open the door nice and introduce yourself and invite him in and say your mother will be happy to see him.
Okay.
Maybe you ought to kiss him.
No.
Think you ought to kiss him, Vic?
No.
Well, you needn't kiss him, Rush.
Don't worry.
Who's this, Sadie, honey?
How you mean, Uncle Fletcher?
Who's at the door?
Well, the people I tried to tell you about, the young honeymooners from Wisconsin.
They're at the door?
Yes.
What's their name?
I don't know.
You don't know their name?
No.
It's a man and a woman?
Well, I'd imagine so.
Wicked William Walters, the wretched Wolverine from Westcott, Wyoming.
Oh, yes, Uncle Fletcher.
Yes, you say?
Yes.
You don't know this stranger isn't Wicked William Walters?
Please, let's not have any additional ridiculous nonsense, Uncle Fletcher. Stuff is complicated enough already.
Mom, here are Mr. and Mrs. Albert Gibbers.
Well, we know the name. It's Gibbers.
Huh?
This is Mr. Albert Gibbers.
Wicked Willis Walters.
I said stop that. Well, Mr. Gibbers.
How do you do, Mrs. Gork?
And Mrs. Albert Gibbers.
Gun mule.
Well, and Mrs. Gibbers.
How do you do?
So kind of you to take us in.
I don't know what we'd have done.
Wicked Willis Walters. Wicked Willis Walters and his gun mule.
Now, back again we go to the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block. Mr. and Mrs. Albert Gibbers are the center of the scene, of course. It all seems pleasant and tranquil, except for a discordant note in the shape of Uncle Fletcher. Uncle Fletcher hovers near the library table and regards the guests suspiciously. Mr. Gibbers is saying...
No, I don't know what we'd have done if you hadn't taken us in.
We could have just sat in the depot, Albert, until the telegram with the money arrived.
That would have been all right, too, darling. As long as I'm with you, I don't care if I'm sitting in a palace or a depot or on top of a boxcar.
Oh, Albert.
Hazel.
Oh, darling, really?
I'm wicked, but who'd blame me?
I beg your pardon?
I never said nothing.
I thought you made some remark.
Never opened my trap.
You, run out of money, huh?
It was foolish of me, I know. I took a certain amount when we left Sweet Esther, Wisconsin, and I felt sure it would be adequate, but it just wasn't. Of course, Hazel and I spent more in Chicago than we intended to
spend. That was all my fault, Albert.
Oh, sweetheart.
No, but it was my fault.
Oh, nothing is your fault.
Albert, now stop.
I'll never stop.
What kind of fathead garbage is going on?
You spoke to me? He's got something in his tooth. Oh, that's too bad.
What? What'd you say?
I say it's too bad you've got something in your tooth.
I got nothing in my tooth.
It came out?
What?
You had something in your tooth, but it came out.
I don't want to talk no more.
Maybe it'd be better if you didn't.
It's annoying when you have something in your tooth.
Mercy, yes.
I had something in my tooth once.
Oh, really?
I'll never forget that as long as I live.
Oh, well.
The idea of me having something in my tooth makes you laugh, huh?
Yes.
Now what's going on?
Oh, the conversation has taken a little playful turn.
Why, George, it sure has.
Hazel.
Yes, Albert? Darling, after all... you are a wicked boy.
Yes, I am. I am a wicked boy.
What? Did you say wicked?
I said I was a wicked boy.
Oh, did you? Well, wicked, huh? So that's it. You say you're wicked.
Hey, Uncle Fletcher, quit poking me in the ribs and kicking me in the shin. And what are you leering and smirking about?
Wicked.
Oh, forget it.
So they call you wicked, do they, lad?
Well, Hazel here thinks I'm wicked.
Go away, Albert. Oh. You are incorrigible.
I am incorrigible.
It's getting just a little too close in here for me.
Then why don't you go outdoors?
That's what I say.
Mrs. Gibbers, let's talk a little about our mothers.
Oh, yes. They were such friends.
My mother left us 15 years ago in 1931. Mm-hmm.
My mother's gone, too.
Very recently?
Quite a good while. I was 16 when she passed away. They're together now.
What?
Our mothers are together now.
They are.
One of the last words my mother said when she died was Lillian.
Oh.
Lillian, she said.
Uh-huh.
Lillian.
Who was Lillian?
Your mother.
No.
Your mother's name wasn't Lillian?
Uh-uh.
Oh, they called her Lillian.
Oh, not that I know of. Her name was Margaret.
Well, isn't that funny?
Yes.
Yes, terribly funny.
Is this terribly funny?
Don't go away, Albert.
Who are you telling to go away?
Albert, what will these nice people think?
They'll think Albert Gibbers has got a pretty wife.
I do wish you wouldn't, Albert.
Do-do and double-do. I tuck my stocking in my shoe.
You haven't gone out of your head, are they, lad?
You just tend to your own beeswax, Uncle Fletcher.
Oh, but is a man a man or is a man a pot of coddled milk?
You don't have to stay here if stuff disagrees with you.
Naturally, I feel sticky and uncomfortable when trash gets in my craw.
I wonder if it could be possible that... Well, I know people don't generally say much about such things, but right this minute, they might be watching us. Our mothers, I mean, Mrs. Cook.
I was thinking exactly that same thing. Mm-hmm.
Standing someplace with their arms around each other, watching us.
Yes.
Could we have met, do you suppose, when we were children, you and I? Well, I suppose we must have.
Somewhere in my head, the name Hazel snaps a twig. Mm-hmm.
And Harriet snaps a twig in my head.
My name is Sadie.
Oh.
You're located in Sweet Esther, Wisconsin, I understand, Gibbers.
That's right.
You played the piano when you were a girl, Mrs. Gook.
No.
There was a girl who used to come to our house and played the piano.
It wasn't me.
Guess it must have been somebody else.
It must have been.
What business is it? Oh, excuse me, Gibbers.
I hope we're not keeping you awake, Vic.
I must have had something in my tooth like rush.
Plenty of nitwit truth in that, you can bet.
How you mean, Uncle Fletcher?
Just let it sleep. Explanations can come at the proper time.
Mm.
You asked me what business I was in, Mr. Gook.
Yeah.
Well, up until a few weeks ago, I was manufacturing a flannel lining for automobile glove compartments.
Automobile glove compartments?
Yes.
You hear that, Vic? Say it. Automobile glove compartments? That was said previously here this morning about automobile glove compartments. Do you think of Pelter on Bleat and Towanda? Do you think of property being rifled, raided, burglarized, and cornulopated?
I know, Mrs. Gook. Jeanette. Of course. Now we can connect things up.
Jeanette?
Jeanette. They're in McDelton Falls.
Well, assist me a little. I've forgotten so many people.
Jeanette Holden.
The name don't seem to snag anything.
Well, all right. Forget Jeanette. Think about Ralph.
Ralph
Hodgson, the Mary Louise Noobs.
Gee, I'd just give half a dollar to remember.
Well, your mother prepared their wedding breakfast. Get away, Albert.
No, I'm not going to kiss you.
Well, get away anyway. I'm busy. Why, sure, your mother cooked their wedding breakfast.
I think something must be wrong someplace. My mother wasn't... Well, I don't like to say she wasn't a good cook, but... Well, darn it, she wasn't a good cook. I know she didn't cook anybody's wedding breakfast.
But on the phone this morning, Albert said you lived right downtown in McPherson Falls.
We did.
You live right downtown and don't remember the name Ralph Hodgson?
Well, let me name over the Ralphs I remember. I remember Ralph Hischmick and Ralph Donk and
Ralph Hodgson was known all over the state. There wasn't a person in Ohio that didn't know Ralph Hodgson.
Ohio?
I'm sure there wasn't a person in Ohio that didn't know Ralph Hodgson.
Well, why do you say Ohio?
Why do I say Ohio?
Yes.
McPherson Falls, Ohio.
We lived in McPherson Falls, Illinois.
I didn't hear you, Mrs. Cook.
My family lived in McPherson Falls, Illinois.
Illinois?
Illinois.
But then we're the wrong people. Albert, we're the wrong people.
What do you know about that?
Oh, go away.
I wasn't going to kiss
this
you.
It's just awful, Mrs. Good.
Oh, not at all.
Oh, but it is. We intrude into your home.
I'll
and
take a
like
hand
a
in this.
Anything else, and all the time there isn't any connection between the families at all.
Your mothers ain't up in heaven with their arms around each other looking down at you. They don't even know each other. You take a great big gang of angels.
I'll take a hand in this, please. Sadie, honey, are these people sailing under false colors?
No.
They telephoned from the depot and represented themselves to be certain parties who wouldn't
say... Oh, ish, Uncle Fletcher.
Well, my thoughts on this matter are of no interest to anybody, of course, but as long as...
I am entertaining strong suspicions, Vic, Sade, and Rushy Huddy, that these two persons are not unknown to the authorities. I am entertaining strong suspicions, Vic, Sade, and Rushy Honey, that this man is Wicked Willis Walters, the wretched Wolverine from Westcott, Wyoming.
Oh, go on.
And that this girl is his gun mule.
Oh, goodness.
Wicked Willis Walters and his gun mule.
Albert, don't.
Sweetheart.
Return once again now to the somewhat confused situation at the small house halfway up in the next block. The excitement has pretty much subsided. We find Mr. Victor Gook, in his position of head of the family, smoothing matters over in this wise.
All right. Dandy. We had a fine, fancy case of mistaken identity, and Uncle Fetcher here has made some rather severe accusations. However, no hearts are broken and no tears have been shed. In fact, everybody seems to be enjoying robust health. Might I suggest that since we're all here and happy, we step into the dining room after a bit and eat lunch?
Sure. Oh, no,
we couldn't do that.
Why not? We're perfect strangers.
We haven't been conversing like perfect strangers. Anybody listening outside the window that say we sounded like beloved old arms around the neck chums?
That's because we thought we were beloved old arms around the neck chums.
Well, I bet a preacher jump in the conversation about now and scream that anybody that thinks they're beloved old arms around the neck chums actually are beloved old arms around the neck chums.
You got a chunk of apple on your chin.
I got a plan on the docket where later on in the day I stick out my tongue and scoop in that chunk of apple.
Oh, I see.
Oh, but Rush is right. If people want to be friends and act like friends and feel like friends, then they really are friends.
An Appleton?
Yes.
Harry Appleton?
Beg pardon?
Are you referring to Harry Appleton there in Mount Morris, Michigan, that married the woman 19 years old?
No.
Fine.
Do you still think I'm Wicked Willis Wallers from Westcott, Wyoming?
I'll let the criminal investigations and revelations develop and emerge in their own good time.
Oh, but, Pop, we were on the St. Louis train this morning. If I was Wicked Willie Wallers, would I be
able to... I will allow the criminal investigations and revelations to develop and emerge in their own good time.
Uh-huh. You actually believe that Albert and I are burglars?
For the present, ma'am, I say nothing.
Well, it's a new sensation for me. Never in my life before.
Two adventurers telephone perfect strangers from the Chicago and Alton Depot and represent themselves as dear old pals out of money.
I think we've had about enough of that, Uncle Fletcher.
Too much.
Very well. For the time being, I say nothing.
Good.
You will stay for dinner, huh? You and Mr. Gibbers?
We can't eat your food, Mrs. Good.
Why not?
Why, because... Well, your uncle was pretty much right when he said perfect strangers telephoned you from the depot and represented themselves as something they weren't. We thought there was a family connection, and it turns out there isn't any family connection.
Oh, Ish, what's the difference?
Well, I think there's a difference.
Hey, how could your girl's estate confuse so long? I should think you'd have realized there was a discrepancy somewhere in 2 minutes.
I'd think that myself.
Well, first there was my maiden name, Rush. Mrs. Gibbers knew her mother's dearest friend was a Mrs. Rush.
Mrs. George Rush.
Sure, Mrs. George Rush. My father's name was George Rush.
Then the name of the town was the same.
Sure, McKelson Falls. It's a very unusual name for a town. Well, it wouldn't occur to a person in 1,000 years there was more than one McKelson Falls in the United States.
We compared several other little notes that jive.
Why, I never even had the shadow of a doubt until you began to talk about your mother's name being Lillian.
It was your mother's name I said was Lillian.
Yeah.
My mother's name was Philenda.
Oh.
Very unusual.
Yes, indeed.
She was named after the town she was born in, Philenda, Ohio.
Well.
You're talking about Philenda, Ohio, ma'am?
Yes.
What about Philenda, Ohio?
My mother was born there.
Philenda, Ohio, 10 miles southwest of Tucum, 1.25 miles east of Buffalo Heart?
Yes.
What was your mother's name?
Fenwick.
Lola Fenwick?
My grandmother's name was Lola.
Your mother's name wasn't Philenda, was it?
Well, I just said it was. I was just telling Miss Good my mother's name
was... You got an Uncle Pete that is employed at the Ohio State Home for the Obstinate?
That's right.
And an Uncle Ray that's employed by the Missouri State Home for the Agreeable?
Yes.
What is all this, Uncle Fletcher?
There's a family connection after all.
Don't tell us you're Mrs. Gibber's brother.
There's a family connection after all. We've pounced on as neat a family connection as you'll find anywhere.
Are you Mrs. Gibber's sister?
No, I'm not. But this young woman here happens to be my landlady, Miss Keller's niece.
Really?
This young woman here just happens to be my landlady, Miss Keller's half-wit niece. Young woman, haven't you got an Aunt Annabelle?
Sure, I have Aunt Annabelle Keller.
We have pounced on a family connection after all.
Well, it's good enough family connection for me. Let's go eat dinner pretty quick.
Suits me.
Hey.
Oh, I'm sorry you were in the way.
Young man, honey. Young man. I no longer regard you with suspicion.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it.
I am convinced that you are not Wicked Willis Walters, the wretched Wolverine from Westcott, Wyoming.
Dandy.
I have successfully ferreted out and scooped up a first-rate family connection.
Uh-huh.
This young woman is the niece of my landlady, Mrs. Annabelle Keller, and no gun mule after all.
I must run over and see Aunt Annabelle.
She will be delighted.
You can do that after dinner.
Uh-huh.
Well, everybody's happy and everything's fine.
Yes, indeed.
I see you stuck out your tongue and raked in that chunk of apple.
I thought the time was ripe.
Hazel, darling.
Yes, Albert.
Sweetheart. And so we end our visit at the small house halfway up the next block with radio's home folks, Vic and Sage. Listen again next Thursday, same time, same station, when the F.W. Fitch Company again presents Vic and Sage. Vic and Sage is written by Paul Reimer, directed by Roy Windsor. This is Jack Fuller speaking.